All right, how's everybody doing? My name is Jesse, and I'm an addict. So like I was saying, this is going to be we're going to have five speakers come up here and share their experience, strength, and hope. And we're going to get this party started with Gabe. He's going to come up here and share his experience, strength, and hope.
Hey guys, my name is Gabe. I'm a grateful recovering addict. So the topic for this was, why are we here? And, ooh, I like that song. Who's playing it? The topic was, why are we here? And I was meditating on this. I read the chapter in our basic text, and I don't even know where to begin. Honestly, just a little background on myself. I started coming into the rooms of recovery 8 years ago. By the grace of God, this program and doing it one day at a time on the 25th, God willing. If I continue to do this one day at a time, I'll have 60 days. I could probably do a mural with the number of desire chips and white key tags that I've picked up throughout the years. I've relapsed many times. It's part of my story. And I was talking with someone before this, and she said, yeah, that's part of your recovery. And I said, no, it's not. You know, like, relapse is not a part of my recovery. It's part of my story. There's a big difference. And I tell myself now, because I have the knowledge of this program, and I have years of experience coming here and continuing to come back, is that I don't use anymore because I'm an addict. That's just a cop-out excuse for me to not hold myself accountable. If I ever were to go back out, I would go back out because I'm not working the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not applying the spiritual principles in my daily life. That's why I use, because In the chapter of Why Are We Here, it says, through drugs, we try to avoid reality, pain, and misery. And I have a disease of avoidance. And so when I'm trying to avoid life, I don't want to live life on life's terms. When I'm trying to avoid the stress of my job, when I'm trying to avoid the pain of heartbreak, when I'm trying just to avoid showing up, really, when I'm in my depression or anxiety or whatever you want to call it, I try to avoid it any way I can. And I'm here today, I'm here in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because if I'm not here, then it's jails, institutions, or death. And I've been in two psych wards and one rehab facility. How that was only been that amount in the past 8 years, I don't know. There was a time when I had a lot of pride because I told myself, for the longest time, I never went to rehab, and I would look down on people, and, you know, today, all I care about is taking it one day at a time, and I have to be easy on myself and gentle on myself, because it also says that although we're not responsible for our disease, we're responsible for our recovery. And I didn't come from a happy childhood. I come from religious trauma, physical abuse, verbal abuse, neglect, you know, you name it. I'm nothing special. A lot of us here, you know, come from traumatic childhoods. Not all of us, but a lot of us do. My dad was a pastor. I was adopted. So you got abandonment, rejection, religious trauma, all that stuff. I used to think that I was special, that y'all didn't understand me. Because if you get to know people, and if you stick around, or if you have been around for a long time, you'll come to find that there's a lot of pastor's kids in these rooms, and there's a lot of adopted kids in these rooms. Because, you know, every time I work with every therapist that I've had that's an addiction specialist, they say that they're not an addiction therapist, they're a trauma therapist. Because a lot of times, addiction comes from trauma. Now, that can be controversial, because not everyone that has trauma is an addict, but they come hand in hand, and at least they come hand in hand in my story. And so, part of the reason why I'm an addict comes from my trauma. But another reason why I'm here is because, bringing it back to step one, I'm powerless over drugs and my life has become unmanageable over them. I have lost my dog, my apartment, and my job in the matter of 24 hours once due to a relapse. And I was still thinking to myself, I'm not an addict. Like, that is the insanity of my disease, is that I can lose it all and I can still justify using because of the way I used. I'm here because I need to remind myself that I'm an addict. I need to remind myself of the gravity of this disease. I have been coming around for 8 years. I can't even tell you how many people I know that have died. Someone last year, someone I was in sober living with, it was a rehab facility, positive recovery, and it was co-ed. Like, they had a men's house and then a women's house. So that causes all kinds of problems. And there was this couple that went out. The guy, she got her own apartment, and they went out together. He shot her and then killed himself. And that's just like one of many stories that I've heard of. I've heard people come and they go back out. And the way that I use is I'm a binge user. I'm a binge drinker. I graduated from alcohol and weed to harder drugs. And a lot of times my stints, mainly I think because I have a head full of recovery, and for me it was really hard to just stay out, and fear always brought me back, you know, crawling back to these rooms. So I'll go out for a night, two nights, three nights, and then I come straight back into these rooms. But I forget. And if I don't keep coming back, then slowly but surely I'm going to fall back into my old ways. It starts off really small, where I skip one meeting. You know, I usually have a set schedule. I'll skip one meeting. Or then I won't make my bed. And then I forget to brush my teeth. Or I'll skip a dose of my medication. Or small things. I show up late to work. And then before I know it, I'm just like full-fledged in my self-will run riot and doing whatever it is that I want to do. And I'm not following any suggestions. I'm not calling my sponsor. I'm not going to meetings. I'm isolating. And there's this voice in my head that tells me that I can't share, because if I share, then I'm a burden to y'all. And I can't be a burden to y'all, so I have to do it on my own, and that's the only way that I can stay clean. That is the disease that voice in my head that tries to isolate me and keep me isolated. Because someone once told me, I love the analogy of the two wolves. It's like, which wolf are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the good wolf, or are you going to feed the bad wolf? And the bad wolf is that voice that says, don't share, don't be honest, don't tell people what's going on. And the most liberating things that I can do is come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and share, even if I have a burning desire, to speak up and say, I'm thinking about using. I'm thinking about smoking crystal meth. I'm thinking about doing shrooms. I'm thinking about smoking pot. I'm thinking that I can be clean and still smoke weed. I've had those thoughts many, many times. And every single time that I smoke weed or that I do shrooms, yeah, I'm not clean, but I tell myself I am, and then I end up doing harder stuff and then causing more destruction. So why am I here? I'm here because I have to. I'm here because if I'm not here, I'm gonna fucking die. And if I don't die, then I die a spiritual death, and that's even worse. People say, I don't know if I have another use in me. You don't know that. You can go back out, and you can stay alive and be miserable. Do you want... And then I tell myself, if I die, then it's all gonna go away and it'll be fine. Fuck no! Think of all the people that I'll affect and that I'll impact, all the pain that I will cause because I was too fucking selfish and self-centered and I just wanted to pick up and go get high. I don't know what's going to happen when I use. That's why I'm powerless. Because as soon as I put drugs in my system, I have no control. I lose all control. I almost died last time, guys. This was the worst, and they say it's progressive and it gets worse. Trust me, it's not worth it. It gets worse. It gets worse. I landed myself in the psych ward for 6 nights. I was driving on the freeway 5 nights, no sleep. Now, I know I'm not special. I know I'm not the only person here that can say that, right? I know many of us can say that. But that's where I was. I could have killed a family. I could have killed someone on the freeway. And by the grace of God, I didn't, and I'm still here, and I'm still alive. So, I'm here because I have to be. I'm here because I get recovery from you guys. I get experience, strength, and hope. I get to listen. I get to be open-minded. I get to grow. I'll share this part at the very end. I love the last paragraph of why we're here. It says, "What a change from the way we used to be. We know the NA program works. The program that convinced us that we needed to change ourselves instead of trying to change the people and the situations around us. We discovered new opportunities. We found a sense of self-worth. We learned self-respect. This is a program for learning. By working the steps, we come to accept a higher power's will. Acceptance leads to recovery. We lose our fear of the unknown." Oh, fuck yeah. We lose our fear of the unknown, guys. Believe it or not. We lose our fear of the unknown. We are set free. I'm no longer enslaved to the disease of addiction. Today, the disease has been arrested. We do recover. I'm never going to be cured from this, but we do recover. If you're still coming into these rooms and still struggling, guess what? Work the steps. Work the steps. I didn't come into these rooms of Narcotics Anonymous just to get clean. I came here to get clean and leave a clean life. I'm not going to get clean and live dirty. I'm not going to get clean and still have all the insanity and the unmanageability that I had when I was in my active addiction. There is a personality shift that should occur within me. And if it's not occurring and I'm not seeing that, then there's something that I'm doing wrong. I'm not applying the spiritual principles of this program. And I'm here because I want to apply those spiritual principles, because this is my worst day clean is better than my last day when I got high. My worst day clean. I'll share this and I'll shut up. Last week was rough. Like, I was having suicidal and homicidal ideations. I was suffering from a lot of stress at work, a lot of anxiety. And I fucking showed up to meetings and I shared about it. It's not comfortable to share it in front of a bunch of people and say, I'm having thoughts of killing myself and killing my boss. Like, it's not comfortable, but I'm not alone. And so other people have those thoughts. In recovery, people have those thoughts. And the whole point of to be here, the whole point of why I'm here is so that I grow. I'm not perfect, and I'll never be perfect, but I'm going to grow, and I'm going to continue to grow. And the only way I do that is by accepting who I am, what I am, and continuing to be honest with you guys. Because this is, they say opposite of addiction is connection. I can't connect if I'm not honest. And I have to be honest with y'all. I have to get uncomfortable. If I'm not getting uncomfortable, then I'm not doing something right. Trust me, I love being the center of attention, don't get me wrong, but coming up here in front of a bunch of people and sharing my story is uncomfortable. And I'm grateful that I get to be uncomfortable today, because that's how I grow. So anyways, that's all I got. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Gabe. Our next speaker coming up is going to be Trudy.
Yeah, come on.
Hi, I'm Trudy, and I'm a recovering addict. I just wanted to say thank you for letting me speak here at HACNA today. I'm very grateful for it. Gabe, thank you for your story. There was a lot of similarities in there. I, too, myself grew up in a dysfunctional home with an alcoholic mother, a single parent. I have dealt with codependency all my life. And I used to blame people, my partners. I used to say they were the ones that had the problem. I didn't, because I could stop. And I started smoking pot at 12 years old for some abuse that I had suffered from. And it was the only thing that made me feel normal. And I couldn't live without it. But for me, marijuana was not a drug. Marijuana was medicine. And so I grew up most of my life like that. A lot of my partners were very abusive, and I landed in prison. And I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because of parole. And I was working my steps, but I had this reservation, right, that when I got off parole, I was going to smoke because I have this medical condition with a lot of pain, and it helps with the pain, and it helps with my anxiety. And so I remember I had got off early release, and I called my sponsor and told her, you know, I was so excited, but then I told her that I was didn't want to disappoint her, but that I might relapse. And so she had me read Relapse and Recovery, and the only one thing that I could focus on was the jarring experience. And I remember calling her and telling her, does everybody have to have that experience? And she told me no. And I mean, she pleaded with me, but I was going to do it because I had already done it in my head. I was already doing it. And it landed me like 10 months. It lasted like 10 months. And then I started using other drugs. Got crapped face one day, and my daughter was, you know, showering me. And I remember how I used to have to take care of my mom, and I remember how I promised that I would never, ever put any of my children through that if I ever had kids. And here I was doing the exact same thing my mom was doing, but I thought there was a difference. Hey, I was doing drugs for many years, and I hid it from them, but they knew something was going on, and I was still like my mother. But for some reason, just that moment, I felt like this has got to stop. So my clean date is 9/25/2020. This time around for me, it's a little different because this time I'm working on my 10th step. And this time I went through all the steps and I completely surrendered. And I know that I am an addict. It isn't because of my partners and who I'm with and because they can't stop. It's me. I can't stop. So I need to be here. I can't use functionally, and I can't blame anybody else for that anymore. I have to take responsibility for it, and I surrendered. And I did my inventory, and I saw, like, a lot of the things that I did in my addiction, and I also saw my assets. And I like to talk a little bit about some of my assets. I'm kind, I'm generous, I'm loving, I'm honest, and I believe in my higher power, and I believe that without my higher power, I wouldn't be strengthened every day to do the unmanageable. I don't pick up today because I know that I cannot use functionally. I cannot use, and I would hurt so many people around me right now. So this time I do it for myself, not because of some paper, not because of some UA that I have to take, but because I want to do it, and I want to strive, and I would love having this better life. Those 10 months were a nightmare for me. That disease, it's there always. But that lifestyle is ready to welcome you back at any moment. And it's not the same. When we go back, it's not the same of whatever it was that we used to do. It's worse. There's people out there that are worse. It's not like it used to be back in the old days. It's really bad. I almost died out there. And I like to live. I like living. It's better than dying. And I just want to thank God. I want to thank God, who's my higher power, for this moment right now to be able to share my story. I suffer from bipolar. So for me, getting clean is not just about the step works. It's not just about not using. It's about taking care of my mental health, my spirit, my health, my physical health. I work in a rehab today, so I work around a lot of girls, and I get to experience helping them. A lot of them tell me, I guess I'm very modest, right? Because a lot of them tell me, you don't realize that the little bit that you told me is what kept me here, and now I'm going almost on a year clean. Those things is what keeps me coming back, you know, because I have something to offer a newcomer. And so life gets better. That's why I'm here, because life gets better. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay. So now we got Matt M. coming up here to share.
So that's a joke for the people that don't know me. For the ones that don't know me, I'm a little bit loud, a little bit flamboyant, and a little bit extra. So I was so nervous coming up here today. I sat in the back of the room. I'm like, I'm an addict. My name is Matt. I'm an addict. My name is Matt. I thought I was going to walk up here in my underwear and be like, I'm a Matt. My name is Addict. So the topic is, why are we here? I do a lot of prayer these days. I literally talk to a higher power and try to center myself. And one of the things that I realized is I'm here because there are a lot of fucking crazy people like myself. They were just a bit smarter because they got clean before me, so they could show me this way. And to that, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that people got clean before me, worked the Narcotics Anonymous program, worked the steps, worked the traditions. Some of them were a little bit crazier and worked the guide and concepts. You know, I don't know if I'm that crazy. But in here, there's a line. It said, we had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. I did find it in drugs. I literally had to do drugs when I woke up. I did drugs when I went to bed. I did drugs to take a shower. I did drugs to walk to the store to buy a pack of cigarettes. Shit, I went behind the store and did some drugs to walk home. That was my life. It was literally nothing else. Some people say that they lost everything in addiction. Some people say they gave it away. I really didn't give a flying fuck about anything except drugs. It was drugs, drugs, drugs. So it says, before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. So I'm going to start from the beginning, and you tell me if my life became unmanageable. I'll let you tell me. So I was born Pennsylvania. My parents, they were good parents, hardworking. My father retired Navy. My mother became an executive at Caterpillar. My dad became a president at a corporation. I needed and wanted nothing. I have four older sisters, two I didn't grow up with. They were alcoholics. They didn't live with us. And the two above me, they were perfect. And then there was this guy, right? This guy. So at the age of 12, I hung around the people and did what they did so I could fit in. I literally did what they did. If they did drugs, I did drugs. If they drank, I drank. If they stole, I stole, just so I could be a part of. The one thing I love about this fellowship is you are a part of when you say you are. And I am an addict. See, in the beginning, I wasn't an addict. I just liked getting fucked up. That's it. I liked getting fucked up. And I moved to Ocean City, Maryland at the age of 17 and became a carny. Again, that's where that pattern of I woke up with somebody handing me some drugs. I got on the bus. I got to the, you know, where we did our little carnying stuff, right? I did drugs all day. We went, took our money, bought alcohol, went home and did more drugs. That was my life. By a power greater than myself, which I, you know, I grew up in religion, but I didn't know about a power greater than myself, guided me back to finish school. I finished high school, and with the love of my father, I went into the military. You know, it's so funny. The day that I decided, like, wow, you know, I'm sitting around with a bunch of people doing drugs, and I'm looking around, I'm all like, man, I don't really have a future. Like, maybe I should go home and tell him that I'll think about the military. And see, I am third generation Navy. So I went home and I wrote my dad a note. Okay, we'll go talk to the recruiter. I literally just went to bed about 8:30, and about 8:45 he woke me up. Come on, come pick me up. Let's go talk to the recruiter. We walked in, and the recruiter goes, so you want to join the Navy? And you hear this godly voice behind me go, yes, he does. The recruiter goes, so when do you want to leave? That same godly voice, right away. Love me much? Right? Not realizing, yes, my higher power, which I call God, and my father, my mother, loved me so much, they wanted the best for me. I went into the Navy. I became a combat medic. I jumped out of helicopters, jumped out of airplanes, became a diver, was in battle, and I loved the fuck out of it. I loved it. I loved the rush. I loved the adrenaline. And it's funny, I look back at it now, I just did my job. That was it. I loved it. I had a lot of schooling. I ended up getting injured, and when I got injured, there was only five of us that had the same career track in the entire Navy. I have two prosthetic hips. I've had 20 surgeries and procedures, shoulder reconstruction. Just this week, I found out I need a cartilage transplant and possibly have to go back in on my left hip. And it's funny. I don't know if it's just me or whatever, but I'm like realizing because of Narcotics Anonymous, I am literally okay with that. I'm like, wow, I got some hope, you know? Because my higher power directed me to two of the best doctors in the nation, at which one of them is one of the best in the world that treats the Houston Texans, the Houston Rockets, and University of Texas as their sports doctor. And that's going to be my surgeon for my cartilage transplant. So I ended up getting really addicted to pain meds. They were handed to me freely, and it helped, right? At least I thought it helped. About that time, I literally, in my 15 years of drug addiction, now remember, I'm not an addict. I like getting fucked up. I have no clue what unmanageability is, but I went through almost about $2 million in my 15 years of drug addiction, right? I literally went from one medication to a harder drug of the same type, back and forth. I found, you know, something that was on the opposite side of the spectrum, and life took off. So it's funny when I read that my life became unmanageable, during my drug addiction, I didn't give a fuck about my kids. I didn't give a fuck about my now ex-wife. I didn't give a fuck about anything I had. All I cared about was finding ways and means to get more, a place to do the more. And, you know, it's so funny how I never ever realized it. I went to prison for arson. I torched my house with everything in it because when I got injured, my ex-wife left me, and I got home and I took some ashes, I put it in an envelope, and I wrote, "Here's your half of the house," and I mailed it to her. But remember, I'm not an addict. I just like getting fucked up. Right? So I did 2 years in Florida State Prison for that. I got out, vowed I'm going to fix everything. And the fact that I had to get high took precedence over everything. During my drug addiction, I like telling this story about how, you know, I'm in my addiction. I came across some money and I'm going to make everything okay with my family. But if I just give you some money, it's okay that I'm not an addict. That I just like getting fucked up, right? Here's some money. And we go to pick up my son, my oldest son. And we go over to where his work and he gets to the car and he goes, "I ain't getting in the car with that asshole." And I literally looked the fuck around. "What asshole is he talking about?" And I looked. I'm that asshole. Like, you know, it's so funny. It's not funny, but like I can look back at it now and see the craziness, the insanity of my life. So I literally ran the streets for several more years. I tried a treatment center. Halfway through, I talked him into, "Hey, I got to go to Florida to take care of this case so I can have some money to get out, you know, when I get out." And somebody took me to go get onto the airplane, and I hit the bus and I went on another 2-year run. So I got put on probation 2019 or 2018. I literally, you know how it is. Like, I'm not an addict. I just like getting fucked up. I'm really doing this. Like, hey, look at me, right? December of 2018, I was robbed and beaten with bolt cutters to the back of my head. I ended up with 6 cranial fractures, 36 staples, spent a month and a half in the hospital. I left the hospital in paper shorts and a hospital gown, and I got in a car and went straight to a trap house. 6 months later, I was shot with a .380 close to the chest, dropped my lung. I spent 2 days in the hospital, left in paper shorts and a hospital gown, and I got in a car and went straight to a trap house. Again, I'm not an addict. Like getting fucked up, that's it. All this other craziness isn't mine. This is just, it's not because of the drugs, it's just life, right? So, August 15th, 2019, or actually August 13th, 2019, I'm standing at a house. I had some money. I'm handing it to some addicts. They're addicts. I'm not. I just want to get fucked up to go get some dope. And they literally got in a fist fight in the front yard. Who was going to take the $100 across the street and buy the drugs? Right? Because they were going to bring back twice as much, you know? I had enough. For weeks prior to that, I literally didn't have that full enough yet until that moment. Weeks prior, I went around from trap house, talking about going to the treatment center. Everybody, I got you. We'll take you in the morning. 3 days later, of sitting on the couch, spending all my money, doing all their drugs, I go from another to another to another. I walked up to somebody that was in recovery for 8 years, and I said, hey, can you take me to the treatment center tomorrow? And they said, yeah, I got you. I'll take you in the morning. So that night, I went to bed. And I slept in a bed, and somebody woke me up with some drugs, banging on my head. You know how we do it. Like, hey, you want to do some? And, hey, I'm going to a treatment center, you know? That's my responsible thing. I'm going to... No, I jumped up. Fuck yeah, dude. Let's do it. I get up. I do it. As somebody in our area says, only the way a gentleman can do it. And I did it. It was taking effect, and I had a moment of clarity. As my sponsor and I worked through the steps, realizing I had a moment of clarity. Fuck, I don't want this. I think I'm a fucking addict. I went to the recovering addict, and they dropped me off. Of course, it didn't just stop there. I get there. Again, I almost went through about $2 million. Well, yeah, almost $2 million over about a 15-year period. And... And I get there. So I get there. I then did 30 days. I didn't think that was enough. I talked to my probation officer. I talked to my lawyer. They got me into a state-funded treatment center. I went there. By the grace of God, it was longer than I ever could imagine. You know, like, God, 9 months. Right? And did 2 months in a halfway house, and it was everything I needed. When I got out, all I had to do is understand I'm an addict and I was a part of. I didn't have to do all the crazy bullshit to become a part of. I just had to realize I'm an addict, and you guys opened your arms with love and caring. So I'm loud and obnoxious as that, you know, flamboyant and a little extra because my heart is full of joy and love and gratitude. It explodes out of me. I love the fact that I can come up to Houston and spend some time with some friends in recovery at their house while I see the doctor. While I get to a convention as wonderful as this, and see people that I've met over the past 2 years, and they run up and they hug me and tell me they love me. I mean, nothing is just, it feels better than any drug in the world than that. Right there, the fact that all I had to say was, I was an addict. That is why I am here. I'm an addict. My name is Matt.
All right, next we got Michael B. He's going to share.
Well, my name is Michael, and I am an addict. And if I pass out, hey, don't mind me, okay? You know, first, I want to thank God and my understanding for another clean day and giving me the opportunity to be here today. This is really huge for me. I've always wanted to do something like this, and I never thought that I would, because I have a disease of addiction that tells me that I can't do anything, and that I'm not worth it. And I want to thank Hackna and my boy Eddie for thinking of me as well, man. You know, the topic is why are we here? There's a million reasons why I'm here. You know, my life was unmanageable for 29 years, and unmanageability was the only thing that was clear to me. Like chaos, destruction, hate, anger, that's all I knew. All I knew is how to get high, how to fuck everything up, how to push people out of the way, And life has been it's been painful, man. I've caused a lot of misery, not just to the people that I love or my kids, but myself. You know, growing up, man, I was mistreated. I was bullied. My own family, my own cousins used to always make fun of me because I was skinny with curly hair, and it hurt, right? Because I wanted to be a part of with them, just because they were older than me. And I love my family, right? But that just taught me, man, that, you know, they didn't really give a shit about me. Like, because I wanted to feel a part of. Like, I wanted the acceptance from my family. And it didn't work out that way. You know, and growing up from the streets, man, that's where I got my acceptance. That's where I got my love from what I thought. That's where I was taught. Now, I'm not trying to dog my mom and or my dad. Like, they did everything they could. And I love them. But they weren't there for me. My dad was busy being an alcoholic, doing cocaine, messing around with other women. And my mom was always at work worrying about my dad. So the streets raised me. The monsters, man. Monsters raised me. And that's how I grew up to be. A fucking monster. I hurt people. Like, I pushed my own kids away. For the lifestyle. For heroin. And there was a lot of regret, a lot of shame. I was guilty. And 29 years, man, I was a wrecking ball. Everywhere I went, I fucked up. Anybody got in my way, I hurt them. And all of those people were my family, my aunts, my cousins. And today, right? Like, today's different. Like, I finally gave myself to the program. Like, I finally told God, look, man, I'm done. I surrender, man, because I cannot keep doing this over and over and over again. I'm just causing my own fucking misery and wondering why, what's going on. Like, why is this not working? And I got a lot of good people today that love me, and they show me. And that's what I always wanted, was a family. And I never had that. I never got told that, hey, I love you. With any motives. Just because they love me. Like, who the fuck loves this addict? That caused a lot of fucking chaos, man. Like, I'm truly grateful today that I have a program. That I have people who love me. I have a relationship with my daughter. You know? Like, I get to buy her stuff for school. I get to buy her clothes. Like, I get to be a part of. And life is better, man. Life is better. Like, I no longer have to feel guilty about the people that I hurt. Because I was in my addiction. I came up with all kinds of excuses of why. Like, today I don't have to do that. Like, I take ownership. Yeah, I did that. And if I can make an amends, then I will. I don't have to be shameful of the things that I've done. I don't have to be shameful for beating my exes like they were dudes. I don't have to be shameful for fucking sleeping with my cousin's wife or sleeping around or sneaking away from my homeboys to go fucking give head to some guy for some dope, for some chum change, degrading myself, putting myself in positions where I know I will feel disgusted. Like, I don't have to be shameful for that no more. I no longer have to feel that. Like, my disease tells me all these things. And just, I'm sitting right there, man, and he tells me, you can't do it. Putting fucking fear in me. Like, nah, I can do it. Like, I can sit up here and spread some hope. Like, why not? I'm a part of, you know, I'm an NA member. I'm a fucking addict. Like, I'm fucking was dying out there in the streets. Like, I can do it. And I have a God who understands me that tells me that I can do it and I will do it. Like, I have a God today. And he loves me and he's kind and caring and he takes care of me and my family and the people that I love. And he's working in me. He may be working in me slowly, but then again, I'm fucking stubborn. You know? Like, I thank God, man, that I have a life today. Like, because I know when I get high and I'm on heroin, I'm doing a lot of self-hurt. Like, with heroin, you're itching everywhere, man. I grab a fucking knife and I'm scratching everywhere, man. I'm scratching, and when I wake up the next day, dude, I got cuts everywhere, man. I'm in fucking pain. And yet again, I still go and get high, and I do the same fucking thing. And I'm crying on the inside, like, damn, what the hell's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Like, why am I not changing? What am I doing wrong? Like, one time, I got so fucking high, man. And because I've attempted suicide, right? So that didn't work out. So, like, I like a lot of self-fucking pain. I like to feel some pain. So I got so high and I grabbed the knife and I just started cutting myself, man, on my chest. I had like 25, 30 lashes on my chest, man. And in the end, I was going to cut my fucking vein. Like, fuck, crying, man. I'm crying hard. And I'm like, fuck, God, help me, please. Like, I can't do this no more. Like, I want to have a life today. Like, people put fucking, they disown me, man. They don't want nothing to do with me. And Narcotics Anonymous is teaching me that, hey, there's a new way of life to live. There is a solution. There is a way out. And today, I work steps. I go to meetings. Call my sponsor. Be in a service. And be there for the newcomer. Because I know how it is when you first come in. Broken, spiritually broken, hurt, misery, pain. And I get to do that today. That's where I get my high. And I love Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God that I am in a program of healing, of learning, of changing. I get to grow, man. Evolve. Yes, I still go through shit. It ain't fucking rainbows and unicorns and wizards, right? But I still get to move forward. I still get to get up, go to work, go to meetings because I want to, not just because nobody tells me, because I want to. This is my life. My recovery comes first. Because if my recovery don't come first, everybody that I love will be last. So I got to take care of myself today. So that's why I am here, to change, to grow, to be of service, to help the addict get my life together. So I just want to thank y'all for giving me an opportunity to be here today. And I am Michael, and I am an addict, and that's all I got.
All right, next we have Brittany P. going to come share her experience, strength, and hope.
I'm Brittany P. and I'm an addict, and I'm already crying. Oh my God. If this isn't some exposure therapy for someone who has trouble with public speaking, So I'm an addict. My name is Brittany. I'm crying because, you know, thank you for everybody who shared before me. We speak the language of the heart here. And it brings, you know, we share about all of our pain, sure, and but also the joy and just, you know, that joy and that love that I have found nowhere else makes me emotional. And I'm kind of killing two birds with one stone because I've been coming to Hackneys like these for 16 years. And, you know, I've had people, you know, in the first, like, 10 minutes of me being here being like, you got 15 years now? You got 12 years now? And my clean date today is July 22nd of this year. And honestly, this is the first time I've had a clean date that I wasn't ashamed of sharing. I have been, you know, coming around for a while and relapsed for a while. And I came in when I was 17. And by the time I was 17, I had completely ruined my life and all of my relationships. I had used so much that I was in a coma for 4 days. I had been in a lot of car accidents. I had almost died several times. I was banned from places. Anyways, I had really, you know, experienced the misery and the darkness that comes from using every day. And I had that reservation. I came in and was a fry pie. I mean, I had totally ruined my brain. I was a stuttering fool. But you guys welcomed me. And, you know, in the chapter, Why Are We Here?, it talks a lot about the, you know, identification. And I had a hard time coming in so young, but I kept coming. I kept coming. But I had a reservation about drinking. And every time that I had relapsed, it had been drinking. And, but I was always welcomed back. And, you know, maybe like, I mean, it's been 16 years, maybe like a handful of people have been like, you know, and I tell them my new clean day, you know, and I'll secretly go get my key tag, you know, every time. And I'm not gonna lie, I did that this time. I got my white key tag and my 30-day key tag after the meeting. But I've always been welcome, because I've always been an addict, and I'm really grateful for that. If it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I would not have a life, period. Definitely not a life worth living, but I really thought I wouldn't make it this long. I mean, I'm like, you know, in my 30s now, and I didn't think I would make it to 20 before I found Narcotics Anonymous. And so I've truly understood that my life is at stake here. You know, NA saves lives. And this last relapse, I had isolated myself for 5 months. And it was awful. It was awful. And I made the choice to try one last time to have a life and be normal, and stuck to my white wine, you know, just a bunch of justification and rationalization and delusion. I mean, that's really what it was. I'd be in my bathtub feeling fancy with my white wine. And then I'd be drunk as shit with my white wine, just like belligerent. I'm like, I'm fancy. Because it's in a nice cup. But sure as shit, 5 months later, I'm driving drunk. I'm risking my life. I'm ruining all my relationships again. I'm talking to two people. I was so isolated. I had worked from home and communicated with work as little as possible. And I had two people in my life that I kept in contact with. And, you know, I'm glad that they were in recovery. If they weren't in recovery, I don't know what I would have done. So in those 5 months of isolation, I had gotten pretty good at consistently stuffing my feelings, and it was just back to how it was before I ever found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I was running away from reality. My life was completely unmanageable, and I did everything in my power to not feel anything. And so I've been crying a lot. I've been crying a lot because I've, you know, have all my feelings coming back. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It reminds me that I'm alive. And it says in the chapter, stopwatch went off. Okay, it says in the chapter, that we concentrate on recovery and feelings, not what we have done in the past. And so I am doing my best today to not run from my emotions. And I know that if ever I'm overwhelmed, I always have someone that I can talk to. Yeah, so I really want this to be my last HACNA, not my last HACNA, but I want to have the same clean date the next HACNA that I come to. Yeah. It says in the chapter, today we feel a full range of feelings. Before coming to the fellowship, we either felt elated or depressed. And that's my experience. It was just one or the other. It was being high, being drunk, and feeling elated, or feeling completely depressed. And I did not have the emotional range of anything in between. Our negative sense of self has been replaced by positive concern for others. Answers are provided and problems are solved. It is a great gift to feel human again. And that's where I am today. You know, I had this past relapse, I had gone back to that animal level, animalistic way of living. And today I feel human, and I know that there's a solution to everything in recovery. You know, as long as I don't get high, as long as I'm working the program to the best of my ability, there's a solution to everything. And I've found that nothing is as hard as getting another white key tag. You know, nothing's been as hard. So in comparison, you know, I feel like strong as fuck. I feel like, okay, I can do this. You know, anything that's come my way, I've been able to find a solution for. Usually in the steps, always in the steps. let's be honest, yeah, always in the steps. I have like a spiritual principle to counteract everything. Yeah, I don't have much else to share. That's about 10 minutes there. So my clean day is July 22nd of 2022, and I'm saying that proudly for the first time in my life. I love you all. Thank you.